Everything. There's so much that's at stake in this election. Right now, as we look around us, in many cases, the moral foundation of our country is being attacked. The envelope of sin is being pushed to its limits. And to be anti-Bible is to open the door to the curse. So we don't want that. We don't want that in our nation. We don't want that in our cities. We don't want that, I know, for those of you that are watching around the world, especially ministers and pastors, you don't want that where you are either. Because the Word of God can change the atmosphere. It can change what's happening around us. And so look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says in verse 11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What we find here in verses 11 and 12 really is a synopsis of the job description of pastors, ministers, prophets, evangelists, apostles. And we are there for, and the Amplified Bible says, the full equipping of the saints. The full equipping of the saints. And as ministers, we are responsible for the equipping of our congregations. The equipping and the educating of our congregations where their biblical rights are concerned, their privileges, their responsibilities, their authority, the covenant that we have with Almighty God. So we do that, and we do that for the most part on a weekly basis, bi-weekly basis, coming before our congregations and opening up the Word of God to them about what belongs to us and what our responsibilities are. But the question I ask is, does this include educating our congregations in the political realm? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Because within the political realm, that political realm touches every area of our lives. We cannot bury our heads in the sand and pretend like the things that we are seeing are not going on. And we cannot have the idea that we can't do anything about it, because we can. And the role of a minister is so important. And I am speaking specifically to all of those pastors and evangelists and prophets, apostles and teachers. The role of the minister in this election season is so crucial. It is so important. And there are several things here that I wrote down to remind myself as a pastor of what I'm responsible for where Eagle Mountain International Church is concerned. I am responsible to make sure that our congregations are praying over these elections. And we have people praying over the election. At the end of the service, I'll ask Pastor Terry to come and she'll pray. And we'll set ourselves in agreement together. We make sure that our congregations are registered to vote. That is so important. Our vote is our seed. And out in the lobby, we have voter registration cards that are available to you. Someone is at that table. They've got information that they can give to you, because in the state of Texas, our deadline is October 3rd. And everyone who is eligible to vote needs to vote. We need to make our voices heard. We as ministers make sure that our congregation are aware that there are primarily two party platforms. And we need to know where those platforms stand in the light of the Word of God. Now, we're going to start talking about that next week. And you've seen me before with these two notebooks that I have. This is the Republican Party platform. This is the Democrat Party platform. And as you can see, the yellow stickies I have in the Democrat platform is because it is different from the 2016 platform. The Republican platform is the same. as it was in 2016. So I've been studying it. I've been reading it. It's available online. I encourage you to do your own homework. Find out where these platforms stand. Find out what they are saying. And finally, as ministers, we make sure that our congregations vote. We'll give you information on early voting. We will encourage you to vote, to cast that vote. Go in person and vote. Every time I vote, every time when I go to the voting place, that booth becomes my place of prayer and worship and intercession over the nation. I pray over every candidate. I pray over their families, their lives. I pray over their future. And then I've already prayed about who I'm going to be voting for. And I cast my vote. And then I spend some time worshiping the Lord in that place. That is a sacred place. That is a place that is so important and cannot be missed. Not in any election. No matter how large or small that election is. And I've been to polling places before on a Saturday when there's a local election and there's no one there. There's no one crowding in to cast their vote. And we don't realize that people's lives are built, especially in the political realm. They are built from one election to another. As David Barton says, it's important who you vote for in the smaller responsibilities, because that person one day might become the president of the United States. So it's important that we do that. Now, where the ministers are concerned, it is important for you to know that you must broach this subject with your congregation. The political parties have everything to do with the platform of the kingdom of God. Positive or negative. They have everything to do with that. That's where these parties stand. Now, speaking directly to the ministers, I want you to know something. In my studies that I've done, especially reading what David Barton has written about the early years of the founding of this country and how important ministers were at that time. And I'll just give you a couple of quotes of David Barton. During the Revolutionary War, pastors and ministers played a pivotal role in the founding of our nation. Pastors were a major influence for America in achieving its independence. 24 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence held Bible school or seminary degrees. Almost half were trained for the ministry. They were just as influential in helping America establish its constitutional form of government, in responding from the pulpit to such issues as slavery, civil rights, the military, and war. Several years ago, I had the privilege of taping Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast with David Barton, and he brought some of his collection on the set with us. And one after another, he would hold up original copies of sermons that were preached by those in the revolutionary time. And they were dealing with issues that they were facing at that time, and giving biblical stands on where their congregations need to be thinking and believing. So it was important. Pastors were involved across the board in every aspect of culture and society. They didn't face the separation we do today that says pastors can't talk about politics. In the founding days of our nation, citizens were eligible to offer their opinion in every aspect in life and culture. Pastors were considered citizens, and they were very involved. Today, for the most part, society has made ministers less than citizens. Everyone else is afforded the privilege of free speech except for ministers. They've not been allowed to talk about political issues. But I can remember before our president was elected, he was hosting a group of ministers in his offices in New York. And he stood up and looked out the window, and he pointed at the people on the streets. And he turned and he looked at the pastors. and the ministers. And he said to them, those people down there are more free than you are to speak about political issues. And I remember again in 2016, early in 2016, when Pastor Terry and I had the privilege of going to New York City, where we were invited along with 1,000 ministers to hear the presidential candidate, Donald Trump, speak to us and talk to us. Mike Huckabee was the moderator of that. And I remember so clearly that day him saying things that I've never heard a politician say before. I heard candidate Trump say, we need to get Christmas back. We need to get Merry Christmas back in our vocabulary. I was there when he said this, and he spoke out and talked about the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment, which was designed to shut up ministers from giving political opinion. And he said, we're going to get rid of that Johnson Amendment. That is the first time that I've ever heard a politician say that they were going to get rid of the Johnson Amendment. And right now, he's basically told the IRS to back off of that where speaking politically is concerned. Now, when I talk about speaking politically, the things that I'm going to be talking to you about over these coming weeks where these platforms are concerned, as well as other issues, I'm going to present the case. I report, you decide. I'm going to present the case from both of these, and then we're going to go to the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say about it. But the ultimate decision is yours. I can't go into the voting booth with you. I can't pick out those candidates with you. But as a pastor, as a minister of God, it is my responsibility to come before you and educate you. Amen. And for you to know facts, things that are going on. I had the awesome privilege this week to tape 5 broadcasts with Brother Copeland and Representative Michelle Bachman. 5 Believers Voice Civic broadcasts that will be airing in the month of October before the election. And the things that she presented and the things that, because she's involved in the political realm and she knows the background stories of things, and I just listen so intently, and I have her notes. I've got her notes. And there are some very interesting things in those notes that we need to be aware of that the news media is not telling us. So we pastors have a responsibility to do this. And the question that David Barton posed, is there still a role for ministers in the political arena today? Well, there's another book that David Barton has written, and it's called Ministers and Public Issues in the Bible. And he says, clergy directly addressing public policy, public officials, and candidates for office was a traditional practice of the early American pulpit. It was also a biblical practice. Consider how often God sent his ministers either to publicly confront civil leaders or expose their wicked policies. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of examples to you, just a few. And there are numerous examples in the Word of God about this. And I'll throw out the reference to this, and I'm considering, and I think I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'd like to make these outlines available online for our pastors and ministers and anyone who else wants to get a hold of these to have, so you can go back and study this. It would take us a while to go through each one of these scriptures, but just listen to this and you'll get the sense of what the ministry did in biblical times. In 1 Kings 21, 1 through 24, Elijah confronted King Ahab and Queen Jezebel over their unjust use of eminent domain and religious persecution. In 1 Chronicles 32, 27 through 31, Isaiah confronted King Hezekiah over his national security failures and issues related to the treasury. In 2 Chronicles 19, 1 and 2, Eleazar and Jehu confronted King Jehoshaphat over his blunders in foreign relations and foreign alliances. In Jeremiah 34, Jeremiah confronted King Zedekiah over his wicked public policies. In Daniel 4, 1 through 27, Daniel confronted Nebuchadnezzar over his arrogance. In 1 Samuel 13, 1 through 14, Samuel confronted King Saul over not fulfilling his assigned responsibilities. In 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 14, Nathan confronted King David regarding his immorality. In 2 Chronicles 26, 16 through 21, Azariah, along with 80 other priests, confronted King Uzziah for usurping religious practices through the improper expansion of government powers. In Matthew 3:7, John the Baptist confronted civil leaders for their hypocrisy. And in Luke 13, 31 and 32, Jesus called Herod a fox. In the Amplified Bible, a sly and crafty, skulking and cowardly individual. So there is no biblical model, says David Barton, where God has had his ministers remain silent with civil leaders and about civil issues. His ministers called out bad leaders and pointed out unbiblical public policies. On the other hand, ministers are also partnered with civil leaders. They constructed good public policies, provided sound guidance, and recommended actions on many issues. So I'll give you a couple of examples of that. In 2 Kings 6, Elisha provided the king of Israel counsel regarding military intelligence and military policy. In 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 13, Nathan told David to build a house for God and helped him with the architecture. In Jeremiah 21, 1 through 10, Jeremiah provided military guidance to the king. In 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 and 2 and 15 through 19, King Joash pursued good policies as long as the priest Jehoiada provided him with wise counsel. When Joash lost his godly counselor, the king's policies turned wicked. So you see influence there, the power of influence that the ministers and the ministry and the body has on public positions. In Isaiah 37, Isaiah revealed secret information to King Hezekiah regarding national security and foreign policy issues. In Luke 3, 10 through 14, John the Baptist advised the people, the government, and the military. In Luke 19, 1 through 10, Jesus counseled a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And in Acts 27, 9 through 12, Paul warned civil leaders concerning impending disaster and natural calamity. Now, where these political platforms are concerned, where did this begin with me? Where did this start? Well, I can tell you the exact date. September 22nd, 2012. I was having a conversation with Brother Copeland. And by the Spirit, Brother Copeland began to speak an assignment over Pastor George. And I wrote it down. George, take the party platforms and preach on those points. Compare those points to what the Bible says about them. Make it really clear that a platform is something that you stand on. To vote for that platform is to attach yourself to it. You will partake of the judgment of that platform. Then, and there's more to that that I'll read as we go on and as we get into it in the assignment that he gave me. Several years later, in preparation for the 2016 election, Brother Copeland wrote in his partner letter, in just a few weeks, and this so applies, excuse me, to what is going on now, in just a few weeks, our nation will be voting not only for a new president and vice president, but also for other leaders, including senators and congressmen, both federal and state, and for governors and judges on different levels, all of whom have a direct and indirect effect on our lives. Elections are a very serious business, especially to God. and to the kingdom of God. Voting is not optional in his eyes. Well, Brother Copeland, I don't like either one of the candidates. Whether you or I like them or not has nothing to do with anything. In the first place, there are more people running for office in this election than those just seeking the office of president and vice president. There are also platforms that form the agenda of each party. The platforms that these candidates are supporting that we must consider. Those platforms are the big issue. I'll repeat that phrase. Those platforms are the big issue. You've heard some people say before, and some politicians even say, that the platforms don't matter. But they do. Especially now. Especially right now. The Republican platform matters. The Democrat platform matters. It's important that we read these. This platform has changed since the 2016. You need to know about it. So they are the big issue, especially to you and me as believers. The planks on those platforms came out of the people's hearts. God pays very close attention to them and to those who choose to stand on them. No one can stand on one plank and not the other. You're not standing on one plank. You're standing on the whole stage, which is made up of every plank. So what he's saying here is encouraging us. We need to know. We must know what is in these platforms and what they are saying. And I don't care what party it is. If they're wrong, call them out. If they're wrong, call them out. This is what you said. This is what you put down on paper. This is what you believe. Stick to it. Stick to it. Now, in all of this, and I'll finish up with this because we're going to continue on. There's some things we need to talk about. There are major issues in these platforms, planks in these issues that we need to talk about. And look at what the Bible has to say concerning it. You and I need to have a talk about socialism. And we also need to talk about the Equality Act. And what that means. People are not familiar with it. And what it actually says and what it actually does. The Equality Act is so important because there's one individual, our president, who will refuse to sign it. Joe Biden says that'll be the first thing he does. So I've already studied, made preparation. We discussed it on the broadcast. I've been reading things about it. I'll be ready to present it to you and show you in the light of God's word where that compares and where that stands. But where all of this is concerned, and as we educate ourselves with the word of God, what does God say about this? Where does he stand on this? What does his word say in the light of the two platforms? But where all of this is concerned, I want you to know something where the election is. There was a word again that Brother Copeland gave November the 4th, 2014. We were on the set of America Stands, and the Lord spoke a word to him. And I have held on to this word, stood on it, and believed on it ever since. The Lord God said this, I have a new birth for this nation. I've planned a nation that right at this moment, you really don't have any concept of what it's like. Hear my words, America. I have a new nation in my heart and in my mind, and you don't know what it looks like. The door is open. Step through it, and together we will bring a new nation on the earth, one nation under God that trusts in God. How can that possibly come to pass? It can come to pass because I am God and I change not. And my plan has already been planned before the foundation of the world. You listen to me and you walk with me and together we will see it come to pass. I've raised up a people throughout this nation and I have a people all over this earth who are praying for the United States. In this very hour, They're holding this country up before me because they realize they need this nation also. These are the days of your deliverance. Rejoice and be glad, because I've given you your nation back, and the manifestation of its new birth is at hand. Can we thank God and praise Him for that? Hallelujah! Pastor, Terry, if you would come up, and musicians, if you would please come as well. And let's all stand together. And we're going to take a moment here to pray over our nation, to pray over these elections. Ask Pastor Terry if she would do that for us, and then we'll be dismissed. But we are going to see some things in the next few weeks that we need to see. We're going to experience some things together that we need to experience. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for people like Michelle Bachmann. And I don't, you know, there are people like David Barton. He's a statesman. I don't know what you call a woman who's a statesman. Do you call them a stateswoman? But she's a statesman. Someone who believes in this nation and believes in the living, breathing Word of God.
I also want to say that there are people in the president's cabinet that will listen to her. And so we have to be praying for these people in these places, because there's so much opposition against them. Wednesday night, church service, we will be praying over the election and over this nation. There's so much that we, the church, are responsible for. Do you know there are whole books written in the Old Testament of prophets addressing the people of God and denouncing them and warning them of judgments that were coming because they failed to follow the Word of God, to pray, and to uphold the nation. Whole books in the Bible towards that, prophets. Yeah. And so we're not going to let that happen. We are the people of faith. To whom much is given, much is required. So much has been given to us. Much revelation has been given to us. We're not just a hoping and a praying. Some people aren't even hoping and they aren't praying. But we're going to be hoping and praying with the support of faith that will see a result.
Yes.
So I want you to come. I want you to come and be here Wednesday night. It's time to get together. I heard someone say, if you've never heard Charlie Kurt, I encourage you to listen to him. But he said this week, he said, people are wondering why we have a destabilized society right now. And he said, it's because you have shut the mouth of the very institution that produced stable society, which is the church. And he said, you don't produce stability sitting at home in your bunny slippers. You produce stability by coming together and checking on each other and praying over each other. I encourage you today as you leave, check on someone, talk to someone, give somebody a call this week. How are you doing? Let me pray for you. Let's stay in faith together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So is this the part, is this place where you want me to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So let's go, Father, in the name of Jesus. We step over into the Spirit because answers are there. Wisdom is there. Peace is there. Guidance is there. Thank you, Father. And in the name of Jesus, the Spirit life for the United States of America is there. The calling for the United States is in the Spirit. And you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the Spirit. By faith in Jesus' name, we lay hold of the answers in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, answers for this election, answers for society, answers for the awakening, answers for the church, answers for the confused, answers for the races, answers for the banks, answers for businesses, answers for families, for homes, for parents, for children, answers for employers, answers for employees. Answers are in the Spirit. Answers, 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 the answers that we need. You're not hiding them from us. You have freely given them to us in Jesus. And by faith, we as the believers, the church, we take hold of the answers things we don't yet see, don't yet know, we by faith take them and we claim them for this nation, for the spiritual prosperity for this nation. We will not allow America to go down. Oh, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, America, we will not let go of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. I encourage you to be praying in the Spirit this week. Be praying in the Spirit, looking at the Scripture. Stir your heart about this nation. Do what it takes. Don't be a lazy Christian. I believe that we're accountable for this. So you don't do that. Be stirred up and make a point. We have church this Wednesday night. We have children in service this Wednesday night. Glory to God. Oh, man.
Praise God. You want to go ahead and mention this?
Yes. All right. So let me tell you.